The following message was recorded at Geneva Presbyterian Church in Canton, Michigan, on Sunday, January 20, 2013, at the 11 o'clock service. The scripture lesson was Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 9. The sermon was delivered by Cindy Thomas, worship elder, and the title of the sermon was When Things Seem Final, The Story, Week 17.
I recently read that of the 2.8 million deaths reported to Social Security Administration last year, approximately 14,000 people's names were incorrectly entered in their online database as dead. That many people, one out of every 200 entries, were reported as dead when they were very much alive. Now, that can result in no small amount of confusion. For instance, a woman named Laura Brooks, a 52-year-old mother of two, suddenly stopped receiving her disability checks. And shortly thereafter, her loan payments and rent checks started to bounce. Now, she knew she had money in the bank, so she went to the bank to find out what was going on. And the bank officer told her that her accounts had been closed because she was dead. Now, they would only reopen her accounts if she could prove she was alive. So apparently, the Social Security Administration's assessment of whether she was alive or dead had more clout than the living, breathing woman that stood right there in front of them. Social Security speaks, and reality is created. Well, in our next scripture reading, we hear a story about a man who spoke a new reality, and a new reality was created. This time, not declaring someone who was alive to be dead, but declaring a whole nation that was very much dead to be alive. May the Holy Spirit open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive his word this morning. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones. Say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a mighty army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We're cut off. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I'll bring you back to the land of Israel, and then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. I'm sure you're aware, and as Brian mentioned just a moment ago, there's a lot of flu going around. We're being told, in fact, that this is a particularly hard flu season. When we get the flu or a cold or any winter malady, the doctor is likely to tell us that the best thing to do is go to bed, drink plenty of fluids, and get a lot of rest. Our scripture passage comes from a time when the people of God were suffering from another kind of disease. Not a cold or the flu. This disease was much more serious. It was a disease of the spirit. For generations, they'd been drifting further and further away from God. Corruption, exploitation, violence, robbery, immorality were all rampant in the land. And worst of all, the priests, the very people who were supposed to tend to the spiritual health of the nation, had become the most spiritually sick of all. When God looked down and saw the condition of his people, he knew that they needed help to get well. They needed a prescription much stronger than bed rest. The medicine they needed was something called exile. God allowed the Babylonian army to capture Jerusalem, level the temple, plunder its treasures, and carry off all the best and brightest of Judah's citizens to Babylon. Now, when we get a cold or the flu, the disease usually runs its course and we're back to normal within a week or maybe two. Not so for this spiritual disease. Their exile lasted not 7 days, but 70 years. 70 years in which the Jewish people felt ashamed, tormented, abandoned, and worst of all, they believed that this was God's final judgment, God's final word to them. It was near the end of those 70 years that God called Ezekiel to bring this message of hope and restoration. Ezekiel was called to prophesy to a nation, but it isn't only nations that can feel dead, dried up, and hopeless. There are people around us every day, people in our schools, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, people pushing grocery carts at Kroger, people watching their child's soccer games, people browsing books in the library, people standing in line at the bank, maybe even people sitting next to us in church who feel hopeless and helpless and lifeless inside. Who of us hasn't known someone close to us who's felt that way? And for many of us, we know what it's like, not just through other people. We've been that person. Or maybe we are that person. Maybe you've stood at one time or another by the grave of your hopes and dreams. Or maybe you've faced a situation in which any possibility of recovery seems completely overruled. Or maybe you face a loss so devastating that you thought you'd never recover. Or maybe you felt utterly defeated by an addiction or a destructive habit. Most people, at one time or another, discover what it's like to feel dried up and hopeless. I know I have. There was a time in my life about 20 years ago when I felt very much like a valley of dry bones. I'd listened to and believed voices both from other people and from inside my own spirit that told me that I was unlovable, that I didn't matter, that my feelings were unimportant and my ideas were worthless, and that at the core of my being, I was someone to be ashamed of. Because I saw myself as unlovable, I needed to recreate myself into someone who could be loved. I made choices not in keeping with who I was in God's eyes, but the person who not the person that He created me to be, but in keeping with who other people said I should be. Choices based on the fear of not being loved and accepted. And all the while I was doing it, I felt degraded and ashamed. And truth be told, none of it helped. None of it was able to get me the love and acceptance I was looking for. Eventually, life became so unbearable that I didn't want to go on living. The thought of ending my own life began to sound appealing, and it began to make sense. I truly believed that everyone in my life, people I loved deeply, would be better off if I simply didn't exist. No one knew how I felt. I never told a soul because I didn't want to add that burden onto the burden that I already was. Now, your experience may be something like mine, or it may be completely different. But I believe all of us face times when life stops making sense. Everything you thought you were looking for, and all the ways you've tried to get it, have turned out to be a dead end. The Jewish people had reached that point, and they didn't know it, but their anguish and their hopelessness was a loving gift of God's grace. God's plan all along was to free them and bring them to life. But in order for that to happen, they needed to, in the words of Alcoholics Anonymous, hit bottom. I had hit bottom. And like the people Ezekiel spoke to, my anguish was a loving gift of the grace of God. Because it's when we hit bottom that God sends an Ezekiel, a prophet of God, a person, a book, a verse of scripture, a sermon, something or someone that speaks a different word into you. A word that has the power to overcome all the words of death and despair and hopelessness that you've been believing. For me, Ezekiel came through sisters and brothers in Christ, through the people of this church. Even though I'd been a Christian all my life, I never really knew Christ personally. I had ideas about him, and one of those ideas was that he could never be able to love someone like me. But through this church, through Brian's ministry, through the words and example of the saints here, I was introduced to Christ in an incarnational way. As God's people spoke God's word to me, I was able to meet the real Jesus, not the one I created in my mind. I was able to learn that what Jesus was like by constantly hearing the truth spoken into places where I had come to believe lies about myself and about God. I was able to see what Christ was like by observing the character of his people. And I was able to experience the love of God and the power of God in the ways they showed love to me. God's saints spoke life to me the way Ezekiel spoke life to the Hebrew people. Ezekiel wasn't just a spectator in this miracle. He was an active participant. He was the agent through whom the transformation happened. Now, God could have easily spoke life into those bones himself, but he didn't. He said, "You speak to those bones, Ezekiel. You do it. Let your words be the thing that speaks life into this place of death." In our earlier scripture reading, the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus. He reminds them of a time when they were a valley of dry bones. "As for you," he says, "you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air." You were dead. The details of my story may be mine alone, but at its core, it's the story of all humanity. We live in a world that is itself a valley of dry bones. God placed His image in each and every one of us, each and every person sitting here this morning, each and every person out there. That's our identity. That's who we really are. But each and every one of us has overlaid that identity with one not created by God, but be created by ourselves, created by the stories we've spoken into ourselves and the stories others have spoken into us. Stories that were never meant to be our story. An identity that was never meant to be our identity. We live in a world where people are suffering. A world where people do horrible things to each other. Say horrible things to each other. And create horrible realities in each other. We live in a world that desperately needs an Ezekiel. And guess what? We are that Ezekiel. The people of God have been called out of the valley of dry bones, not just to live out our lives in a state of peace and joy. We've been given a great and glorious purpose. We've been made into a mighty army, an army whose purpose is to go into the world and speak life into the ears and into the hearts of those people God brings into our lives. Ezekiel was called to speak life and hope into a people who felt abandoned, grief-stricken, and hopeless. And I find it meaningful that God's choice of a messenger for that message wasn't random. Ezekiel was well prepared to bring that word to the people. He himself knew grief. A few chapters earlier, we read about the death of Ezekiel's beloved wife. We're told that she was the light of his eyes, and she was taken from him. Ezekiel was a man who knew what it was like to suffer, to feel hopeless, to feel the searing pain of deep loss. It's the stuff of our lives, the griefs we've suffered, the pain we've endured, the shame we've carried, the lies we've believed, the places that God has called our own dry bones to life, that God intends to bring His message of life to other people. He wants to make us living words of His truth, living messages of His goodness, living, breathing examples of His power and His love. I have been called to life. God has saved me from so much, healed me of so much, and delivered me from so much that I am no longer able to see what I once considered to be those dry bones of my life as worthless, lifeless, and hopeless. I now see the dry bones of my life as the seeds of my transformation and as the place from which I'm called and empowered to speak life into others. I see them both as the call and the message that God has on my life. I hear them as the melody of the song God has sung into me and is calling me to sing into the world. Last night I read a story that was posted on Reddit recently by a college student. She writes, "In a girls' bathroom stall at my university, girls have written about some of their most horrifying experiences. This week, somebody replied." The reply, written on notebook paper and taped to the bathroom stall door, said, "To the girl who was raped, you are strong. I cannot fathom the pain you must have gone through. The fact that you have the bravery to write it even on a bathroom wall gives me hope. To the girl with eating disorders, I promise you, although I don't know you, you are beautiful. You deserve your health. You deserve freedom from that hell. To the girl with the alcoholic father, I am so sorry for the agony it must cause. Again, such courage is remarkable. You must be such a strong person to see such pain. To the girl whose father died, missing them never goes away. The ache of their absence never goes away. But the love they had, the memories you share, surely must last. I am sure at the bottom of my heart, the people who have left you in this world are exceptionally proud of the person you are. Every time I see these walls, these confessions, I feel so blessed to know that I have the privilege of seeing them. Your moments, these secrets, are all precious, even though they're sad. To all of you, including those I didn't mention and those I have who have not yet written, you are worthy. You are strong. You are loved. Somebody cares. We don't know the name of the girl who left that message taped to that bathroom door. We don't know anything about her, other than the fact that she was offering herself as an Ezekiel to the wounded women who left their stories written on that wall. She looked at those messages, and she took action. She opened her heart to care, and she took the time to respond. She was speaking life and truth and beauty and hope and goodness into the places of death and destruction and shame. All around us are people who desperately need to hear words of life and truth spoken to their dead, hopeless, despairing places. People who need the life song God has sung into you. And because they often wear masks, they may be hard to see. But our kindness, our affirmation, our words of life and truth, our recognizing the value of each and every person we meet and treating them as though they are of infinite worth, because they are, may be the very thing that calls them to life, that helps them to heal, even if just a little bit. But singing our life song into the world takes courage. It requires that we get involved in the messiness of other people's lives. It requires that we sense their pain. It requires that we become vulnerable and expose ourselves to hurt and rejection, because as God's prophets all found out, truth is not always received well. Sometimes it isn't gratitude that comes back to us, but anger and pain. But it's what we're called to do. It's where we most deeply live out our God-given purpose. In one of her poems, Emily Dickinson wrote, "If I can stop one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. If I can ease one life the aching, or cool one pain, or help one fainting robin into his nest again, I shall not live in vain." The world is waiting for Ezekiels. People in your life are waiting for an Ezekiel. And God has created you to be that Ezekiel. He's prepared you and empowered you to do it. He's saying to you, as he said to Ezekiel, "Speak to these bones. Speak my truth to them, that they may hear you Or maybe they won't. But keep speaking. Don't stop. Don't give up. Call them to life. Do not live in vain. There's nothing more important, more valuable, that you can ever do. In your bulletin, you'll find a slip of paper with two questions on it. Where have I been called to life? And who in my life right now needs me to speak life into them? And I'm going to invite Dan to lead us in a song, or sing a song for us, that speaks of someone who was dead and by God's grace is now alive. And as he sings, I invite you to ponder those two questions and make a commitment to allow your life song to sing to someone who is right now living in a valley of dry bones.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. If you have questions or would like to know more about Geneva Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at genevachurch.org or call the church office at 734-459-0013.